नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भवद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवायां भगवति उत्तमश्लोके Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Puranjan becomes a woman in the next life. Text number 35 and 36. Tatra Chandravasa Nama.
Tatra Chandravasa Nama.
Tamrapani Vatodaka.
Tamrapani Vatodaka.
Tat Punya Shalilir Nityam.
Tat Punya Shalilir Nityam.
Upayatratmano Mrijan.
Upayatratmano Mrijan.
Kandasti Birmula Palai.
Kandasti Birmula Palai.
Pushpa Padnai Strinodakai.
Pushpa Padnai Strinodakai.
Vartamana Shaner Gatra.
Vartamana Shaner Gatra.
Harshanam Tapa Ashtita.
Harshanam Tapa Ashtita.
Tatra Chandravasa Nama.
Tatra Chandravasa Nama.
Tamraparni Vatodaka.
Tamraparni Vatodaka.
Tatpunya Shalilir Nityam.
Tatpunya Shalilir Nityam.
Upayatratmano Mrijam.
Upayatratmano Mrijam.
Kandasti Birmala Palai.
Kandasti Birmala Palai.
Pushpa Parnai Strinodakai.
Pushpa Parnai Strinodakai.
Vartamana Shaner Gatra.
Vartamana Shaner Gatra.
Harshanam Tapa Ashtita.
Harshanam Tapa Ashtita.
Tatra Chandravasa Nama.
Tatra Chandravasa Nama.
Tamraparnit Vatodaka.
Tamraparnit Vatodaka.
Punya Shalilir Nityam.
Punya Shalilir Nityam.
Upayatratmano Mrijan.
Upayatratmano Mrijan.
Kandasti Birmala Palai.
Kandasti Birmala Palai.
Pushpa Parnai Strinodakai.
Pushpa Parnai Strinodakai.
Vartamana Shaner Gatra.
Vartamana Shaner Gatra.
Harshanam Tapa Ashtita.
Harshanam Tapa Ashtita.
Tatra Chandra
Vasanama.
Tamra Parni Vatodaka.
Tatpunya Shalile Nityam.
Chandravasa Nama.
Tatra Chandravasa Nama.
Tamrapar
పర్ణీ వటోదక ఉభయత్రమనోమృజస్తిర్ముల పాళపర్ణైస్తృణోదకాయ వర్తమానాశనైర్గాత్ర దర్శనం ఆస్తిత
shall he lie with the waters, nityam, daily, ubayatra, in both ways, atmana, of himself, mrijan, washing, kanda, bald, astibi, and by seeds, mula, root, palai, and by fruits, pushpa, flowers, parnai, and by leaves, trina, grass, udakai, and by water, vartamana, subsisting, shanai, gradually, Gatra, his body, Karshanam, rendering thin, Tapa, austerity, Astita, he underwent. Translation. In the province of Kulachala, there were rivers named Chandravasa, Tamrapani, and Vatodaka. King Malayadwaja used to go to those pious rivers regularly and take his bath there. Thus he purified himself externally and internally. He took his bath and ate bulbs, seeds, leaves, flowers, roots, fruits, and grasses, and drank water. In this way, he underwent severe austerities. Eventually, he became very skinny. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We can definitely see that to advance in Krishna consciousness, one must control his bodily weight. If one becomes too fat, it is to be assumed that he is not advancing spiritually. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur severely criticized his fat disciples. The idea is that one who intends to advance in Krishna consciousness must not eat very much. Devotees used to go to forests, high hills, or mountains on pilgrimages, but such severe austerities are not possible in these days. One should instead eat only prasad and no more than required. According to the Vaishnava calendar, there are many fasts, such as Ekadasi and the appearance and disappearance days of God and his devotees. All of these are meant to decrease the fat within the body so that one will not sleep more than desired and will not become inactive and lazy. Overindulgence in food will cause a man to sleep more than required. This human form of life is meant for austerity. And austerity means controlling sex, food intake, etc. In this way, time can be saved for spiritual activity, and one can purify himself both externally and internally. Thus both body and mind can be cleansed. Om Agyana Timarandasya Yanantana Shalakaya Chaksur Militanina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanikamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So we're hearing Narada Muni instruct King Prachini Parishat by describing the allegorical story of Puranjan. And at this point in the narration of Puranjan has become a woman and she's serving her husband Maharaj Malaya Dwaja, who is a great devotee. And Malaya Dwaja, we are hearing how he took Vanaprast, he's retired to a remote place and he's doing his austerity. And the results of his austerity is he's becoming very thin. Some women spend a lot of money to become thin. One of our devotees was telling me she was working in Singapore and she was working in some health clinic there. And she said, so many young women come and they will spend enough money, you could buy an apartment with the money they spend. Just to lose some weight. Just to be thinner. So, they can be thinner. Huh, we should make money. We could recruit them, huh? Send them to some mountain place. Give them some grass to eat. And some flowers and roots. They'll become thin. Not a big problem for us. So Prabhupada is talking about the importance of austerity. I remember when I was still a very young devotee, Prajumna Prabhu. Prajumna was known as Panditji. He was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor. And he used to travel with Prabhupada around the world. So Prajumna told me, he said, Prabhupada had said to him, fasting is necessary for spiritual life. So he was You know, I always remember that statement that was coming in the parampara from Prabhupada to Prajumna Prabhu, that fasting was necessary for spiritual life. So we're hearing a little bit here about the importance of fasting, austerity. Rishabhdeva also told his sons, this verse actually was one of Prabhupada's favorite verses. He lectured on it repeatedly. Nayam deho deha bhajam niraloke kushtam kamarha tate vidbhujam ye tejo divyam putrakayena sadvam shudayad yasmat brahmashokyam tvanantam. Rishabhdev tells his sons that human life is not meant for sense gratification, because that sense gratification is available even for the pigs which eat stool. Pigs also have a big belly. They have a good time filling the belly, eating lots of whatever is given to them to eat. They will eat anything and everything, anytime. They have no discrimination. So, human life is not meant for that kind of behavior. Human life, tejo divyam putrakaryena sattvam. Rishabhdev instructs his sons that human life is meant for tapasya, for austerity. Why? Because by austerity we will become purified. And when we are purified, then we can experience real pleasure. Not that chapala sukha, not that dry pleasure of the material world, chewing what has already been chewed, as is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Chewing what has already been chewed, there's no taste there. You chew something, the sugar cane, after it's already chewed, there's no taste. So material pleasure is like that. Punas puna charvita charvanana, chewing the chewed. But if we want to experience real pleasure, the real tejo divyam putrakayena sadvam shudayad yashmat brahmashokyam tvanantam. Brahmashokyam. If we want to experience that spiritual pleasure, we have to purify ourselves first. We have to do some tapasya, some austerity. Now, if we preach too much about austerity, of course people will run away. No, who wants to do austerity in this? People are all looking for sense gratification. And certainly, when Prabhupada went to America, he didn't preach about austerity so much in the beginning, right? What did he preach? He said, eat prasadam up to the neck. Oh, great, huh? Yeah, and people would eat in the beginning, and Prabhupada would encourage, eat more, eat more. You can read in the Lilamrita, there was one devotee, Stradish, and he could eat 30 chapatis. I remember that when I joined the movement, they used to tell me stories about, oh, this devotee, he ate 70, simply wonderful. Yeah, simply wonderful. The milk powder and the butter and the sugar made into a ball. One devotee had eaten 70 of them. And they thought, wow. Then the devotees would used to have gulab jamun contests. Who could eat the most gulab jamun? You know, who could be the biggest pig, you know? Of course, prasadam is transcendental. But in the beginning, that, you know, that is encouraged. If somebody does not like prasadam, it's not a very good sign. Going to be difficult for them to come to Krishna consciousness. They don't like prasadam. Yeah, I mean, we always notice that very closely when people come, new people, when they come to the center, you can see who really likes the prasadam and who doesn't. Because if they like prasadam, that's a very good sign. But if they don't like prasadam, that's really going to be hard. You know, how are we ever going to, you know, attract them, make them devotee? Because prasadam, that is our secret weapon, right? Prabhupada had his big bottle of gulab jamuns, ISKCON bullets, right? ISKCON bullets. He give that, people would get hooked on them, they'd never leave. They could never go away. So long as they got more and more prasadam, they would never give up Krishna consciousness. So it's nice to be attached to prasadam. But in the beginning, we're encouraged to eat more. But that does not mean that we should always be eating more. And we should continue to eat more and more and more. That will not be very good for our spiritual progress. Certainly in the beginning we encourage devotees, you can eat now. Yeah, eat now and get very attached and appreciate Krishna consciousness. But gradually we have to appreciate that we have to control. We have to start controlling the senses. Because too much eating is not going to be good for us. Prabhupada explains, if you eat too much, common disease in India, what do people get from overeating? Yeah, lack of, not much exercise and a lot of eating, diabetic. And when people don't eat healthy, then they get TB, tuberculosis, because they're not eating healthily. Sometimes in China, some of our devotees have got TB because they became vegetarian, but they were not knowing so well how to take care of their health. They, you know, not so familiar. They wanted to be vegetarian, but they didn't quite know how to make a balanced diet. And sometimes you get TB. So it's a lot of trouble to cure that. Just as diabetes is very serious, you don't get rid of that easy. In the same way, TB is also can be quite serious problem. So eat too much, eat too little, not good. You have to know how to regulate. Very important for us. We don't want to be so austere that your health is affected. Here, we're hearing about Malaya Dwaja Maharaja. Remember, he's not a young man. He's become old. He's appreciating the end of life is near, and that's why he's gone, taken vanapras and gone to the remote place. And he's not doing a lot of activity. He's not rushing around. He's sitting, just sitting and meditating. So like that, you can minimize. But when you have to work, you have to eat. But don't eat too much. Don't eat too little. Prabhupada was talking one time, you know, Prabhupada's sister, Pishima, she used to come here in Albert Road. Very interesting lady, Prabhupada's sister. She was also a disciple, initiated devotee, and she was very attached to Prabhupada, to her brother. She used to come to see Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada, when Prabhupada saw her, he would say, "My goodness, you're getting so fat." And she would say, "I don't eat anything." And Prabhupada would say, "Huh? You don't eat anything? I never heard. You don't eat anything, you're so fat." And the person gets fat, they don't eat anything. How is it possible? Do you know anybody like that? They don't eat, but they're fat. Cannot. Yeah. Sometimes people will say like that, you know, they say, "Prabhu, you know, you're so fat, you put on a lot," and he'll say, "I don't eat anything. How is it possible? I must have been eating sometime. Maybe you're not eating today, but you know, in the past you must have been eating." But different people have different constitutions, you know. Some people by nature are skinny and thin. Even they can eat a lot, but still they don't put on much weight. There's some people like that. But there are other people who are much heavier, you know. They have different kinds. So everybody, there's no fixed amount how much you're supposed to eat. It's going to be different for different people. What is a lot for one person may be a little for another person. We have to see their physical nature, and you have to see also what kind of work they're doing, how much energy they're using up. Just like these rickshaw wallahs. We used to see these people pull these rickshaws. You don't see them so much now. The guys who used to pull the rickshaws, and they would eat chickpea flour. Huh? They would have that chickpea flour and mix it with water, and they would eat that chickpea flour. Because they're pulling the rickshaw all day. They're using up a lot of energy. If we were to eat chickpea flour, you know, we'd be knocked out. You know, it's so heavy. But they can use it because they're pulling a heavy load. They're doing donkey work. So they need to eat that kind of food, which gives them a lot of energy. Similarly, if you're going out all day running around, maybe doing book distribution, you have to eat something to give you good strength that you can go out. You can keep going for the day. But somebody else working in the office, you don't want to be eating so much because you're not, you know, it's more mental activity. Of course, mental activities are also they're very tiring to be using the mind all day. They say you use the body physically, it's not so exhausting as using the mind. When you have to use your mind all day, sit and be thinking and concentrating, that is very tiring, very exhausting. So, different conditions are there for different people. We have to be careful how much to eat, when to eat. We don't want to eat at night. I spoke the other day, you know, don't eat, Prabhupada told us, don't eat grains after 4 in the afternoon. I remember in the West we used to follow that. Then I came to Calcutta. In Calcutta, we had breakfast and then we had supper. In the evening, they always served rice dal chapatis again in the evening. You know, but coming from the West, we were not used to that. We only used to eat in the midday. Now you have it better here. You have breakfast and lunch. It's a good program, very suitable. You don't need to eat at night. Hot milk is sufficient. You get some hot milk. If you need something a little moody, it's enough probably. Just like I preach in Thailand. In Thailand is a Buddhist country. So sometimes when I go for Sankirtan, for book distribution, people will see me in this saffron dress and they'll say, "Oh, you are a monk." And they will ask me, "How many meals do you eat a day?" Because they know a monk only eats 2 meals a day. Other people, they eat 3 meals a day, 3 times a day. But the monks, they will only eat twice a day, because after 12 o'clock, there's a rule for the Buddhist monks, they cannot eat after 12 o'clock. They only eat in the morning. And they'll eat a lot more. They'll eat quite a bit in the morning than the afternoon. They know they're not going to eat in the afternoon. So they eat all morning. Of course, that's their way. We're different. We're not like them. But at the same time, it's very similar. Prabhupada trained us like that. We had a simple breakfast. Prabhupada used to have like some oatmeal or sometimes just some chickpeas and an orange. And then at lunch, rice dal chapatis. And Prabhupada would tell us, he said, you should eat staple food all week. And then once a week, you can have a feast. Once a week, you can eat opulently. But regularly, you don't want to be eating opulently. You don't want to be every day having puris and lots of fried food. with a lot of sugar and butter, that will not be good. It should be staple food, simple rice, dal, chapati. And people are hungry, then you prophesy that you can eat more rice and dal, chapatis, these things, if you need to eat more. But don't eat the opulent things. Don't go for the fried and the sweet things, because this will not be good for our health, will not be good for our spiritual condition also. Physically and spiritually will not be good for us. So controlling the tongue. There's a saying that disease comes from the mouth. When you get sick, you know, something, maybe you put some dirty thing, some bad thing, some impure thing in the mouth. You put the wrong thing in the mouth and you can get sick. So for us as devotees, we have to be very careful what we put in the mouth, right? We know that very important, you know, we have to be trained sometimes. Don't put your fingers in the mouth. You know, the mouth is a very dirty place. Don't put your fingers there, and be careful what we put in the mouth. It is said that in Mahabharata, Bhishma did not interfere when they were taking off the sari of Draupadi. And the reason why Bhishma stood and watched that was because he had been contaminated by some impure food. He had taken some food which was not pure and it had affected his consciousness. And in this way he could not properly think and he could not object when the Kauravas tried to disrobe Draupadi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also warns about being careful what to eat. Particularly Lord Chaitanya gave instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami. Of course, Raghunath Das is an extreme example of renunciation. But that was because Lord Chaitanya had instructed him like that. That do not run here and there simply to satisfy your tongue. We have to be very careful not to be the servant of the tongue, that we're attracted by opulent food. Oh, there's a big wedding there. Oh, they'll have lots of nice sweets. So let's go there and fill up, you know. Devotee shouldn't be ever thinking like that. We want to be very careful where we eat, what we eat. Prabhupada warned us, don't take food cooked by people who are meat eaters, because karma will be transmitted through the grains. If you accept the grains prepared by people who are not vegetarian, then their sin is transmitted through that food. We have to be very careful in everything we do, and especially what we eat. Therefore, controlling the tongue is taking Krishna prasada. Especially the best prasada is what is offered to the deities. If you can get the food offered to the deities, then that is the most pure. Of course, we want to make sure also that the cooks and the pujaris are also pure, and then you get the best prasada. It's a responsibility for everyone. The cooks and the pujaris, they're right at the heart of the temple, because we all take prasadam. So if that prasadam is not properly prepared and offered, then the contamination will affect all of the devotees. So we want to make sure that the highest standards are kept, and that way we can all get the benefit of spiritual foodstuff, prasada. By taking prasada, then we can purify our consciousness. But, well, rather I should say honoring prasada. Honoring, not simply taking, but respecting and honoring the prasada. In this way, we can purify our existence. So tapasya, austerity is necessary for us. We have these holy days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Madhava Titi Bhakti Janani. That the holy days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami become the mother of devotion for those devotees who take shelter of that. Well, we have to learn to take shelter of these days. Not that we should dread them, that, oh my God, tomorrow's fasting. No, but we should be thinking that tomorrow is a holy day. It's a good opportunity for us to become more absorbed in thinking of the Lord and remembering Him and His pastimes and qualities. And when we control the senses and reduce our eating, it gives us more opportunity to hear and chant. We used to have a feast on Ekadasi. Prabhupada has also been quoted as saying, fasting means feasting. Prabhupada would sometimes cook feasts for the devotees on the Ekadasi. They would fast, no breakfast, and then they would have a feast in the midday. On the Ekadasi day, when I joined the movement, we had prasadam only one time. Usually we were having twice a day, but on the Ekadasi we would take only one time. That would be in the midday, the Ekadasi prasadam. In this way, we could feel lighter in the body. When you eat more food, especially grains, it is tiring. And the tendency is there to sleep. But when we don't take food, then certainly we feel lighter and clearer. We can think clearer. So this kind of austerity is actually necessary for us to help us to overcome the demands of the body. We are conditioned to think, if I don't eat, I'll die. How will I ever live if I don't eat? And certainly Bengalis will think, if I don't eat rice, I'll die. But before they became devotees, they used to think, if I don't eat fish, I'll die. Then we become a devotee, then we're thinking only rice. But actually, this is all our conditioning. We are thinking, well, we need so many things for the body. But it is amazing what we can do without when we're in that situation. One of the devotees described his experience the very first time they fasted. In the beginning of the movement, that Prabhupada said, tomorrow we will fast till midnight for Krishna's birthday, for Janmashtami. So the devotee says, by 10 o'clock in the morning, he was already starving. He thought, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he thought, for sure, I won't see tomorrow, I'm going to die. But then somehow when it came to midnight, Prabhupada just took some fruit and cut it up. The devotee, only fruit? Look at this. But after they took the fruit, after the end of fruit, after fasting all day, they felt perfectly satisfied just by eating some fruit. That was an amazing thing. That once you, when you fast a little bit, then you eat a little fruit and you can feel satisfied. You don't need to eat so much. You don't need to be putting so many things in this belly. So, generally, devotees should not be overweight. I remember Prabhupada also, there was one devotee, he was the temple president here in Calcutta when I first came here in 1975. And at least one time, Prabhupada had referred to him as the fat one. So that was, you know, a bit of a joke, you know, for kind of humiliating that Prabhupada himself had personally called him the fat one. Now he's a sannyasi actually, with Narayan Maharaj over there in their camp. But Prabhupada also noticed when devotees were getting overweight, putting on weight, and not a good sign for their spiritual progress. But at the same time, you should not be emaciated, that you're so thin, you know, looking very unhealthy. It's described about Kardama Muni that although he was living in the jungle and doing his austerity, but he was not emaciated. Rather, he was effulgent and he looked very, very healthy. So Prabhupada says like this, the same way brahmacharis, they should have that brahmachari effulgence, you know, they shouldn't be fat, they shouldn't be emaciated, they should be healthy looking people, naturally effulgent by dint of their pure living. During the times of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada, there was a second, was it the second world, the first world war? Anyway, they were recruiting people. They wanted people for the Indian army. Right? So they were thinking that there's so many people in the Gaudiya Math, we should get some of these men, let them go and join the army. Instead of just being sadhus, let them go and join the army and fight for their country. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati argued, said, no, no, look, they're all skinny, weak people. They won't be any good. They're not good for soldiers. So, this is the idea, you know. If you're too big and strong, then they'll put you in the army. Be a kshatriya instead of a brahmin. Of course, the Brahmins have also taken advantage, you know, they also have their Brahmana bhojan, you know, and they can also put on a lot of weight, you know. But actually, that's Brahmanas, they're usually, that's why they're all grihastas, you know. In the grihasta ashram, they can put on weight there. But brahmachari life, living in the ashram, temple life, it is meant for some tapasya, some austerity. And we should take pleasure in that austerity. Take, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the Ekadasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not eat, he did not drink, he did not sleep. The whole day and night, all the devotees would stay awake and they would chant and discuss Shastra. In this way they passed holy days. I had the opportunity when Tamal Krishna Goswami was present, that I remember when he came, I was in the Philippines at that time. I was in Manila in the Philippines, and he came there, and he had been inspired that we should also observe Ekadasi like that. No eating, no drinking, and no sleeping. And he personally guided us through that. Yeah, he stayed with us the whole day and night. And we told the devotees, you know, which those who want to do it, you can do it. You're welcome. This is how, you know, full Ekadasi fasting. And, you know, we did it. I think I only did it twice. You know, I asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj about it afterwards. He said, it's not something you would do in older age. But maybe young men, when you're younger, when you still have full strength, then you can do that. But there's also the instance, the pastime, well-known pastime, that one time the devotees were fasting in the Gaudiya Math, an invitation came for a program. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada immediately said, tell these boys to let these men go for the program. But then the new came back and said, they're all fasting for Ekadasi. They said, make prasadam, give them prasadam and tell them to go. He didn't want them to fast. More important was preaching, not fasting. The preaching is the important thing. We don't sacrifice our preaching to do fasting. Understand, this Malaya Dwaja Maharaj, he is in the end of life. Vanaprastha, gone to the remote place. You can do that kind of tapasya there. But here, in a city, we're living here in a city. Why? We're living here to preach. Preaching is the important thing, not fasting. That is the austerity. Greater than the austerity of Malaya Dwaja, fasting is to go out and preach and distribute Prabhupada's books and deliver all the Jagai and Madais out there. That is the greatest austerity. So don't be in any confusion about what's more important. Prabhupada's mission, Prabhupada always instructed us, the real thing. You have to go out there and preach. And even if it's Ekadasi, still we didn't mind, you can take prasada. Take good prasada and continue. Go out there and distribute books. Because that's more important. You'll make more advancement. You'll get much more purified than you ever will by simply fasting. If you go out there and preach and do some delivery, giving the mercy to these fallen souls. Our movement is to give mercy. We're not just interested in our own deliverance. We want to deliver the others. So this is the thinking, this is the mood of all the great acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I heard at the end of his life, he could not even walk and he was going blind. He said, just simply put me on a horse and take me for preaching somewhere. That was his mood. So like this, you know, we have to understand this philosophy clearly. Are there any questions? Comments? Prabhu?
I wanted to ask Maharaj, this Puranjan was a king, but apparently materialistic king in previous life, and then he thought of a woman. Next time he became a woman, and how is that, what great fortune, how he got that, he got a, such a qualified devotee husband. And now she is able to, then...
Akshaya Garanga Prabhu, can you answer that question? I'm not so familiar with this, I haven't read it for years. Can you remember, how is it explained? Why he got such a nice husband for a devotee when he became a woman?
Yes, because Puranjana had many pious activities in his life.
Just because of his pious activities. So you got a devotee husband.
But by piety we don't get devotion.
What, his sacrificing animals?
By that he got a king, the daughter of a king.
That was mentioned because of pious activity and purport is mentioned.
Just his pious activities. Must have had some pious activities in relation to devotees, maybe doing some agyata sukriti somewhere. That is the real pious activities we want.
This story is allegorical story, that for I am asking. But it relates how one can get, you know, such a devotee, like becoming a disciple and all that great fortune. Even if in previous life he was, you know.
Yeah.
Not so devotional.
Yeah, you mean he was not so devotional, Puranjan, in the previous life? Yeah. Yeah, he was an enjoyer, enjoying in the body, but I haven't read the whole thing again. What does it explain? What?
In this, two slokas back, in the first book.
Yeah.
The person, he got woman's body because he was attached to the wife, but same time, because he did pious deeds, so he became daughter of a king.
Became what?
Daughter of a king.
Daughter of the king. Because he'd done some pious activities. So he took birth in the rich family.
Yeah.
Big birth in the rich family.
And becoming devotee is just allegory, that is not practice.
It's not real. Yeah. Okay, Prabhu.
And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a pastime of this Ghosh brothers. Govind Ghosh was there, Chaitanya who asked for digestive medicine. Then he brought after some time. But when Chaitanya Prabhu asked for the next day, then he immediately produced. So Chaitanya Prabhu said that you become a householder. So I want to ask the question here. He was storing that for service.
Haritaki.
Haritaki, the medicine for digestion. He was storing for serving the Lord. He may not be storing for himself, as mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then why Chaitanya Prabhu asked him to accept householder life?
Well, what's wrong with householder life?
No, the point is that he had storing mentality.
What is storing? What was he storing?
He was storing this Haritaki Khand for digestion.
Yeah.
So, question is, he was storing, so Mahaprabhu saw the mentality that he's storing, so that is the mentality of householder person. So, but he was storing for serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. Well, does it actually say that because of his storing mentality, that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to be Grihastha?
Yes. Yeah. He was Brahmachari.
Yeah.
But then Mahaprabhu punished him by told him that he should become Grihastha.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are storing.
Well, that's the will of the Lord. You're getting instruction from the Lord. You have to take it. What is your point? Your question?
My question is sometimes devotee also store prasadam. But like sometimes service or something.
So, that's a good warning for you. You have to be careful. What are you storing? Is it necessary to store so many things? Yeah, you should. I remember Tamal Krishna Goswami told, Brahmachari means whatever you can tie in one cloth and hang on the wall, that's as much as you need. You don't need to keep so many things. I saw in your ashram up there, I saw that there's so many lockers, and then on top of the lockers there's so many more things. I thought, my God, what kind of brahmacharis are these? Brahmachari means minimize, not collecting, right? You've already got big lockers, and then I've got so many more, mountain of so many things. You see. So, yeah, you have to be careful. Over collecting, atyahara prayashascha. These things are not good for devotional service. Overeating and over-collecting. Collecting more funds than required, or collecting more things than necessary. Now, you always have to be, that is certainly the householder mentality. As soon as you go to the household, the grihastha's, average grihastha's house, you see, there are so many things. But we want to keep simple, minimize the demands. So just, you've got extra things, give them away. Get rid of them. Don't accumulate. Try to keep it simple. If there's a famous quote, you won't know this, but you know, from the West, there was a famous musician, he used to play the guitar and sing songs, and he said, if you haven't got anything, then you don't have anything to lose, right? But the more you have, the more you have to worry about losing things. So it's so nice when you have nothing. There was one couple, I was teaching a course in Mayapur some years ago, I remember, and one couple, householder couple came. They'd been staying in the Gita Nagari farm, and they said they remembered when they became devotees. When they first became devotees, they gave everything away. And they said it was so nice. I remember when I became a devotee as well. When I moved into town, I just finished university and I had so many books, I had to buy so many books and so many other things. Just gave everything away. Get rid of everything. And they come to the temple, nothing. So nice. But they said after being a devotee for 10 years, they said, we want to join the movement again. They said we want to go back and join again, because after 10 years you accumulate so many more things. You become a devotee and I need this book. I have to get that book. And then so many other devotee paraphernalia. Sometimes you see people, one householder, I went to the and opened the fridge and full of all different kinds of prasadam. When they went to the holy places, they brought back all this maha and they stick it in the fridge, It's been there for months and months, so many different maha from India. And they're living in another country and keep the things there. So that tendency is so bad. This will bring us back in the material world. You have to get rid of as much as you can. The simpler you can make your life, the better it will be, the easier it will be to think of Krishna. So be careful, we have to all be careful about that. We get very easily, you get so many things. Every year I'm traveling and preaching so many places, people always come, they'll give you clothes, they give you socks, so many socks. I just have to go and just give them to other people, just get rid of them. That we shouldn't think this is for me. You should think, who needs this? If I don't need it, then give it to somebody who can use it. And you can see that example was there in I think it was Jagannath Das Babaji. Somebody came and gave him some cloth and some coins. And he was keeping it by his side. And the man thought, it was Gorkishore Das Babaji. So the man was thinking, I see, he's attached. But Gorkishore was simply taking the cloth and the coins to give to somebody else. He didn't want them himself. He was going to give them to some other Vaishnava. So this is the Krishna conscious way. Whatever we may receive, we don't need to accumulate everything for ourselves, but be ready to give it out, to give to others who can make maybe better use of it than we can. So, any other questions? You're hearing the class is the austerity.
Initially it was inspiring so much about doing austerity.
About what?
Doing austerity.
Ah.
Fasting and all. But then you have an example where you eat and go on and taste.
Yeah.
So again it's like, compromising our mind. So our mind takes us many times. Actually what happens? Eat nicely and serve nicely.
Yes.
So, what happens, most of the time we don't do austerity in the name of service. Better I serve nicely and eat nicely. So, what happens, we do this only, but never do austerity. Especially Ekadashi, Ekadashi also feast, and to compromise, to compensate it, we do feast and all. So, Ekadashi is like, it's not a fasting day, it's like, changing the type of
prasadam. Well, that's voluntary. It's not that you have to take that prasadam, If you want to do austerity, the choice is there. We don't force you. that you have to do yourself. Right? We're not saying you have to eat this prasada program. Sit down, eat. Nobody is twisting your arm to eat this prasada. You have independence. If you want to do austerity, you can do it. That is the point.
You become what you associate with. So everybody is eating nicely.
So we need the acharya. We need some acharya. Show the right example. Prabhupada is telling us here. The example was there. Prabhupada himself did not usually pass on Ekadasi. He did not usually, but he would take light, very light. Prabhupada did not eat heavy, very light food, very simple diet. Generally, he would not fast on Ekadasi. But I remember one time here in this temple, it was an Ekadasi day, and the devotees had all been served beans in the sabji. Jagpataka Maharaj then ran, oh my god, beans in the sabji. And he went in and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we've all broken the Ekadasi. Prabhupada said, you must all fast for 3 days. Prabhupada was upset. I had been out on Sankirtan because I was doing life membership. So I came back late, you know, and I hadn't eaten. So then he said, you know, we all broke Ekadasi. I said, oh, you all broke? I might as well break too, you know. I'm so stupid. So, you know, I thought, well, if you all took, I might as well took. I can do Ekadasi tomorrow too, you know. But anyway, very serious. Prabhupada considered like that, you know, following Ekadasi, very important. If you didn't, he told us we should fast for 3 days. And then about an hour later, he said, tomorrow you all do it. Tomorrow you all observe Ekadasi. So, very serious thing. You know, I quote Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us, if you observe this Ekadasi properly, it becomes a mother of devotion. More bhakti will take birth in us by properly observing this vow of Ekadasi. So we should be conscious. We should be thinking how to improve my vow, how my consciousness. Try to do, certainly must do more chanting. With Prabhupada always told us 25 rounds on Ekadasi. Chant more rounds. You must chant more rounds on Ekadasi. Very important. Do more hearing, chanting. That is why we're fasting. Why there's some. The opportunity may be there to eat, oh, different prasada. Oh, it's different prasada. Sometimes even better on the Ekadasi. But what the real purpose is not to just have different prasada. The real purpose is how to increase our remembrance of Krishna. So take some determination on your part. You want to do it, you have to be thinking. We have to do austerity, we need to purify ourselves. This is one way in which we can do it. We have to do some austerity. So what the fasting is here, you take Ekadasi prasadam, simple prasadam. Doesn't have to be opulent. How much you take, that's up to you. But we should be trying to control. Don't be the servant of the senses. And of all the senses, the tongue is the most difficult to control. If we can conquer the tongue, then it's a big progress, a big help. So it will take some determination. No, you give up meat, fish and eggs, and you're here taking prasada. Okay, but we're enjoying prasada, that's very good. But as we go on in Krishna consciousness, as we go on, we have to gradually conquer over this attachment to just filling the belly, eating so much. We have to minimize the demands of the body. So don't eat too much, don't eat too little. But try to increase your consciousness, Krishna. Did you have a question, Acharya Rana Prabhu?
Krishna was a disciple of Prabhupada.
Who? Pishama? No, she was initiated. I think she had first initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then second from somebody in the Gaudiya Math. Very nice. She would always bring a bottle of Ganga water with her and, you know, sprinkle it everywhere. She was very clean, very pure. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, austerity ki
jai.